Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jesse Tapia in for James Hamm. James going down to Kings Media Day, and we will bring you all the coverage of that throughout the day on social media, of course, and then tomorrow we will break it all down for you on the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Jesse, thanks so much for hanging out again like you did last week.
Glad to come off the bench.
This is
Malik Monk. We're ready to go.
Yeah, no, this is big time. Really appreciate it. Want to circle back on the 49ers and their 30-13 win over the Patriots. Do you feel like it was a good win?
Yes.
Yes?
No doubts about it.
Zero doubts. I'm not allowed to be picky?
No, dude. We went into this game. It's like, hey, you guys need to win or whatever. It's not like, oh, yeah, the 49ers are back, blah, blah, blah. But, like, no, I'm not going to shame them for playing however against the Patriots or Patriots scoring however or whatever. Like, no, it's a good win.
That's kind of how – that's a little bit how I feel, because I went in going – We talked about how the Giants and Cowboys game was a lot like this Patriots-Niners game, right? It was two teams that hadn't looked great, but trying to get right. But the Cowboys were Thursday night on the road, division game, like, it's a tough spot. But you didn't feel like, hey, if the Niners go in 20-15, it's going to be great. I need them to kind of blow them out.
Yeah.
And then they did. Like, did the Patriots hang around in the game? Yeah, a little.
Well, then we kind of expected that, too, because the Patriots, like, they're bad, but they're kind of, like, risky in a way where it's like you can understand it, I guess.
Sure. The deal is, for me, the Patriots score to make it 20-10, and then the Niners go down 4-play 70-yard drive to immediately go back up 17.
Yeah, like, this game was never like,
they were never it was never out of control. I think the thing that sticks with me is it still feels like, okay, defensively it was great, need to see that more moving forward, but I think the thing that sticks out to me is just offensively. They hang up 23 points on offense. Of course, they get the 7 on the Warner pick 6. Uh-huh. But it feels like they're still leaving too much meat on the bone on offense, where they are kicking too many field goals. They're converting 50% in the red zone. 50% of the red zone trips turn into touchdowns. That is super mid.
Yeah.
That is bottom half of the league easily when you look at last season. And if that's the case, if it's just, hey, Christian McCaffrey's out, it's tough in the red zone. Well, yeah, that's why you have Kyle Shanahan. That's why you have Debo Samuel and George Kittle and Juwan Jennings and Brandon Ayuk. You have the weapons to be good in the red zone. There's just no excuse for it at this point. And I think that's where kind of my brain doesn't allow me to sit here and go, yeah, hey, awesome win. Because like you said, it was. They did exactly what we asked them to do. Uh-huh. But at the same time, when you start to spin it forward, I start looking at things like, man, they had 30, but they probably should have had something closer to 40.
I think this is something where, like, both things can be true.
Sure.
We're just kind of like, yeah, they won, that's great and all that, but you also have things they have to work on going forward. They're not the perfect team right now. Like, you still need CMC. Brandon Ayuk, I guess, is just out there right now. He had 2 catches, 48 yards, right?
Just,
yeah,
vibing.
2 catches. Yeah, just Juwan Jennings, wide receiver 1. You're kind of just waiting for guys just to fall into their roles and in place.
I thought Ayuk looked a little more like Ayuk yesterday. The 38-yard catch was just that's a deep in-breaking route. We saw that so many times last year. And then that diving catch on the 3rd and 9 for 10 yards, that's kind of the quintessential Brandon Ayuk catch to me. Like, outbreaking, he's making a dive. Like, that's just a really nice play. I actually kind of oddly think that one of the big takeaways for me yesterday was the interception that Purdy threw. Not in a bad way, though. Because the Patriots kicked a field goal to go up, to cut the deficit from 17-14. With like 13 and a half minutes left. And the Niners get the ball on their own 30. And I was super expecting run, run, run. They're just going to try and bleed this clock. They're going to try and make this a 9-minute drive and kick a field goal and ice the game. But instead, they come out on first down and they go 45 yards, deep shot to Juwan Jennings, who makes an unbelievable catch. Great throw, great catch. Just a good football play all around. And then they go, they run it with Debo. It's called back for a flag. They throw it again, and then they take a shot to the end zone on 2nd and 8. And it's like, that's exactly, and they threw a pick and it wasn't great. Not a good decision. Would definitely take, but it's the process, right? It's the Patriots cut the lead to 14 and the Niners didn't go, hey, we're just going to bleed the clock here.
I was like, all right, let's go kill the game again.
Yes. And that was that little mindset switch was the biggest takeaway for me from yesterday. Will the defense hold up? Don't know. Will the offense figure out how to score in the red zone? Don't know. But that mindset shift is just something we haven't seen under Kyle Shanahan with the 49ers. And honestly, it's one of the reasons that I think they've continued to kind of lose these games, where they have so many games that they've up double digits in the fourth quarter and they lose, right? I think it's because of that. And I think yesterday you saw a fundamental shift in, okay, this game might get away from us. Because 13 and a half minutes, they go three and out, they punt. Patriots have the ball with a lot of time left, where if they score now, it's a one-possession game.
Yeah.
That is how games get away from you.
I think it's also an aspect of he's just fully trust Brock Purdy at this point now, too.
Yes.
Like, I think now you have a quarterback where it's not, like, Jimmy G with the 49ers was great and all. Ending wasn't the best or whatever, but, like, Brock Purdy is a lot different, a lot better. Now Kyle Shanahan has a guy who's like, all right, if I need to put the ball, football in his hands or whatever, and I need him to kill the game for us through pick or whatever, which is fine. Mm-hmm. Not fine, but you know how we're talking about and all that, but you kind of trust the guy now.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that also speaks to, remember when he didn't throw the deep ball to Ayuk against the Rams last week?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's all situational. Like I said, I said at the time, if that happens in the second quarter, I think he lets it rip. And this is a spot where, okay, it's up two touchdowns, basically arm punting, defense is playing great, going to take that shot. And he threw it a little bit late, and he talked about it after the game, and Shanahan talked about it after the game. But yeah, I loved the process. Like, that whole drive was like, oh my God, finally.
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to take advantage of their weapons and actually go score a touchdown instead of trying to bleed clock. Wow. What a time.
Yeah, we got Michael Day One Chad Elson here. Says he's completely opposite of you. Hates the decision not to bleed the clock out and come out there on bombs. I think I'm anti bleeding the clock out unless the running game is just working for you at that point, because I feel like it just never works.
I get the idea. If there were 4 minutes left and they're up two touchdowns, then yeah, dude, just run clock.
Uh-huh.
Run it in the line, make them use timeouts, maybe try and get a run around the around the edge and get a first down and really just kind of ice the game that way. In that spot, yes. But with 13 and a half minutes left, that's not bleed the clock time.
Yeah, no, you still got to play football.
You have to go play football. And I love that. And again, that was just the throw that was open, and Purdy made it. Uh-huh. It's not like Shanahan went, hey, we need to go deep on this play. Like, no, that's just the route that was open against that coverage, so that's what he threw. And I love the aggressiveness, because that is what I feel has been lacking from Kyle Shanahan's game management. I feel like he has been way too conservative, and it has cost them games. Whereas yesterday, okay, they didn't get a touchdown, but the process of, hey, they just cut it to two scores, we're going to really quickly try and make this a three-score game again, I loved that. I thought it was great.
Well, maybe Kyle Shanahan's feeling the heat a bit too, where it's not hot seat or whatever, but just kind of, all right, we got to make adjustments here, or else things are going to go wayward or whatever.
Yeah, man. That's exactly where I am. It is so weird to watch the Patriots be bad at football. I can't. I'm having, because you're like me, and I think there's probably a lot of people listening who are in the same boat. I don't really remember the Patriots ever not being good.
Yeah. Me too.
And now they're at a point. Even worse.
Literally.
And now it's at a point where they're like really bad.
I feel like I'm talking about them all of last week and kind of today. It's kind of like I feel like I still give them that kind of respect.
You do.
They're not the Panthers. I always try to put that, like, Kevin, right. They're not the Panthers or whatever. Maybe they are. And I'm
they
just
might be.
Still giving them some kind of respect.
They looked so bad yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
They looked terrible. And it's so odd, because I just kept expecting, their one touchdown drive was 27 yards.
Uh-huh.
And I kept expecting, like, okay, this is going to be the driver they figured out. Okay, here's the driver they're just going to put the clamps on defensively. And it just didn't, just never happened.
Yeah, maybe it's just time to let go.
I just think they're not
the dynasty was great.
I will say, though, they are doing the right thing, keeping Drake May far away.
Do not play him this season.
Oh,
there's no reason
God.
To play him this season. There's no reason. Get a top five pick. Figure out what you want to do with that. Maybe draft an offensive lineman. That might help, but...
I know he needs to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I fully get that you can't get better at football unless you play.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're also not going to get better at football when you're pressured 19 times on 39 dropbacks.
He'll have no chance.
What's he going to do? Like, what's he going to do differently that Jacoby Brissett isn't doing?
Exactly.
I go out there, watch Jacoby Brissett, who's a pro. Watch the way he prepares. Watch the way he deals with things in game. Deals with adversity. Let him make the mistakes.
Just be glued to the playbook. Honestly, if I'm Jerod Mayo or whatever, be glued to the playbook next year. Like, if you studied enough, not studied enough, but like if you're just familiar enough, then we'll have the offensive line ready to go, make some additions and all that, and kind of have you in a better situation.
I will say, though, that at one point during the game, the Patriots were on offense. Drake May didn't have a hat on and was, like, standing over back by the bench. Bro, I need you, maybe even helmet on, front and center. I'm a football guy.
Are we sure that's not old man yells at cloud take right there?
I'm a football guy.
I get it.
And I would like to see, does Drake May like football? That was the question I had. Does he want to be there?
All right, Colin Cowherd. Yeah, I wouldn't let him touch the field this season.
No.
But I don't know how much of that's
going to
be up to them.
That offensive line is atrocious, dude.
Yeah.
Like Kevin Givens, like, all due respect to Kevin Givens. He's a good rotational player. 2.5 sacks in a quarter. They give up 4 sacks in the second quarter.
Yeah, not great.
I think there was one play I can remember in my head where Jacoby Brissett looked really comfortable in the pocket.
Whew. Probably the same for him. You can remember that one play. But I think they're in a spot where like they shouldn't play him at all this year, but he's already getting asked about it post-game press conferences and all that. It's going to be a story. I feel like at some point they're kind of just going to throw him out there.
Yeah. We mentioned Brandon Ayuk. It's really nice coming out of a game where he just didn't have a super productive game. Mm. Didn't have a drop, had a really nice catch, had a big game. The Brandon Ayuk breakout is coming. In fact, it might come this week against the Cardinals. Like, it's right there. He's very close.
For sure.
Yes. I feel so good about it. In fact, yeah, I'm calling it this week. Brandon Ayuk.
You want to guarantee it? We got some stats going on. What do you got?
What's
Brandon Ayuk breakout?
No, it's just a vibe, dude.
Just a vibe?
Yeah, like he's going to, at some point, he's going to have like 9 for 128 and a touchdown. Everyone's going to go, oh, yeah, Brandon Ayuk. No, about time for $30 million.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
No, he needed a couple weeks to ramp up, and now he's got to get chemistry with Brock Purdy back. I thought the 38-yard gain was great. You saw the diving catch. We talked about it all last week. Christian Gonzalez is a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Gonzalez, I think, got targeted 5 times. He gave up 3 catches for like 12 yards.
Yeah, it turns out Christian Gonzalez might be a top 5 cornerback at some point.
Just a great player. And he wants smoke, too. There was a long catch and run for Juwan Jennings where Christian Gonzalez came over and like put his shoulder down at the end of the run. Didn't just guide him out of bounds. He hit him. I'm all in. I'm all in on Christian Gonzalez.
I'm a big Christian Gonzalez guy too.
Yeah.
You know who I'm out on? We can talk about later.
Ooh.
Garrett Wilson. We finally
you're
traded
done?
Him. We finally traded him.
Hey.
Got him out of there. If you're on the Garrett Wilson club like me, trade him. It's over.
You're done?
Done. Dunzo. Oh, no. It's over. Shout out Chris Godwin. Welcome to the squad.
You might regret that.
I don't think so.
You might regret
bro,
that.
Bro, him and Rodgers are just not on the same page at all.
How do you lose a game? Speaking of the Jets, sorry to shift gears, everybody, but we're here. How do you lose a game where you gave up -7 passing yards in the first quarter?
Dude, I was watching it. Rodgers and the wide receivers are not on the same page at all. There were so many times where he's throwing it to one spot and say Mike Williams is running farther down the field or whatever. Him and Garrett Wilson had a few like that. It's all of his receivers. And Breece Hall, he's a good running back. But he's not what they try to say.
They said he was McCaffrey.
Yeah, no, he's not.
That's
that.
Crazy.
He's not that.
Speaking of Christian McCaffrey, he's supposed to start his ramp up today.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
And I keep seeing like November, so he's still a month out. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
Basically.
So Kyle Shanahan said I would like him to increase his. I don't know if that means getting on the field and doing work, and he's been doing just off field stuff like rehab stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Or if that means he's going to be doing like football drills. I have no idea. And there's still no, hope to have him back in week 8 or whatever date. I'm still circling week 10. That's the week after the bye week where you get him 8 weeks off plus the free week in week 9 and then you get him back week 10.
Yeah. I mean, ramp up, I don't, it's a,
but is it, I
don't even know what to call it.
I need somebody to, I need the tell all on what's happening with Christian McCaffrey because it went from, okay, so here's the timeline, right? In July, he starts out, well, week 17 last year, this Achilles injury crops up. Misses week 18, gets the bye week for the wild card round, and then plays like 95%+ of the snaps in all 3 playoff games. So you figure he's good to go. Good to go to start camp. Oh, nope, calf strain. And he's out for camp, out for the preseason. Then come to find out, it's Achilles tendonitis. Okay. He's limited during the first week, questionable week 1, but they think he's going to play. Okay. Oh, nope. He's a scratch in week 1.
Then it turns out, it might be week 2.
Oh, actually, you know what? We might actually put him on IR. Yeah. After previously going like, no, I haven't considered IR at all. In a week, it went to, he's probably going to go on IR. And then he does. And then we hear from Ian Rappaport, 6 weeks. It's not going to be the four, it's going to be the six. Wow. All right. Well, you know, that kind of makes sense. That falls in line with the coming back after the week nine bye. So that sounds about right. And then it's, oh, wait, no, he's going to Germany. And, oh, according to other doctors who aren't treating him, oh, it might be 10 to 12 weeks. And now he's back from Germany and, oh, yeah, the ramp up's starting. Like, what? This has so many red flags to me.
Yeah, because it's all just been vague. Because at this point, if you're ramping him up, okay, like, is he not completely healthy, but he's good to go now, basically. You can start, like, getting ready. Like, what's going on?
Right. And is this ramp up like, hey, they have an exact date and they know they need to take these steps. So he's going to start step one on Monday today? Or is this, yeah, hey, we're going to have him practice because he got all these injections or treatments or whatever he got in Germany. We don't know. He got all this treatment done, and now, yeah, we're going to test it out and see how it goes.
I mean, it could just be too, like, if we're just throwing scenarios, like, hey, he's back at the facility now.
Yeah, I
he's just getting treatment or whatever.
There are so many red flags with Christian McCaffrey's Achilles to me, and I don't like any of it.
Do you want to know?
Maybe I'm scarred by Kevin Durant, but man. Yeah.
I'm trying to word this the right way, but, like, is Christian McCaffrey someone you can count on for the season right now?
No.
Like, moving forward, are you just... Jordan Mason's the running back, and we're going to have to get through the playoffs with Jordan Mason at this point.
If the 49ers, because we talked about, James and I talked a little bit earlier about their red zone problem, right? Or maybe you and I did. I don't know. They all blend together. But they're 50% of the red zone. Mm-hmm. Like I said, that was earlier. That was with you. And if they're banking on, yeah, hey, we don't need to figure this out now. We're good at 50%. Because when Christian McCaffrey comes back, we'll be awesome again.
And that's what I'm basically wondering. Because I feel like that's a
failure if they're doing that.
Okay, because I've seen 49er fans like, oh yeah, like we're kind of worried about CMC or whatever. I don't know what it's going to look like. And there's the others where it's kind of like, when he's back, we'll be fine.
If that's what they're doing, if they're not trying to solve any of their offensive problems right now because they think Christian McCaffrey will solve all of them, and maybe, like, yeah, for sure. But I can't. How can you comfortably rely on that?
Well, I feel like at this point, just talking through it, like, the 49ers have to have been caught off guard at some point, too. From how it was talked about, whatever, all right, he'll be ready for week one, we're going to sit him out all of training camp. And then it's kind of like, nope. And it's like, wait, maybe we'll put him on IR, maybe not. Now he is going on IR, and it's kind of like, it hasn't been smooth at all.
They were definitely, to me, I think they thought, yeah, we'll give him training camp off, the preseason off, he'll be good for week one, and then we just have to manage it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's about... Okay, hey, we feel really good about Jordan Mason, who's had a great camp. This is actually a great opportunity for him. He's gotten RB1 snaps, so he can shoulder more of the workload. We're more confident in him. So we can lessen Christian McCaffrey's workload during games. And also, you know, he's going to get Wednesdays off during the week for practice, and he's going to get extra treatment. And that's what I thought they envisioned all year. And then something happened in the lead up to week one. It might have been the Sunday before week one or the Monday of week one that... something happened that they weren't ready for. Because if they were, then they would have put him on IR like right away.
Yeah.
Just to get that clock started so whenever he's ready, they can get him back. So I think that's when they got, I guess, blindsided a little bit. I guess any injury could get sideways on you. So not blindsided, but they weren't necessarily prepared.
And you're ramping him up right now, but it's like, and we mentioned November. That's not even like a set thing. That's just kind of a month we've seen thrown around, yeah.
Yeah, I don't, I would rather see the 49ers try and figure out some of their offensive issues without Christian McCaffrey and bank on not having him.
Uh-huh.
If you get him back, awesome. Like, your offense is clicking again. But their offense isn't so bad that it's like, oh my God, you have to rush him back now.
Yeah.
They're not, they are just not scoring. Yeah, the red zone stuff, it matters a little bit, but they're still hanging up 23, 24 points a game. Like, that's plenty.
Their issues are issues I think they themselves can fix rather than we need Christian to get out here and fix it for us.
I would agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have plenty on the offensive side. We've been saying that all year. And it's why I said last week, the Christian McCaffrey injury concern is below my concern of what's going on with their defense. And frankly, that's still the case. So if they can get Christian McCaffrey back, awesome. And whatever this ramp up today means, I have no idea. at some point, ideally, right, they would say, yeah, the ramp up's going great. We're targeting this date.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're going to reevaluate him in 3 weeks or what, like just some kind of language that's other than like, eh, we're going to ramp him up.
Talk to you later.
Yeah, all right. Bye, guys.
Thanks.
To answer your question, that was a long way of saying, no, you can't rely on him this year.
Yeah.
And if you wind up getting to, awesome. That is such a nice club to have in your bag. But if I'm the Niners coaching staff right now, I'm doing everything I can to figure out what the offense looks like sans Christian McCaffrey this year. And with Jordan Mason. And with integrating another running back, because there's no, he's on pace for like 387 carries.
So modern day, I don't know, insert whoever.
Earl Campbell.
Yeah. Earl Campbell. Thurman Thomas.
Dude.
Yeah.
The GOAT?
No.
Some are saying.
Not better than Adrian Peterson, I'll tell you that.
That's a wild take.
Yeah.
All due respect to Thurman Thomas, but come on, man. Cardinals and Rams both lost yesterday. That's good news for the 49ers.
I think I'm out on the Cardinals.
Are you?
Yeah.
I think I'm in on the Commanders.
I'm in on the Commanders, definitely.
Jayden
NFC
Daniels
East champion,
shout
Washington
out
Commanders.
Somebody in the chatty house, when I was doing my Dynasty Fantasy draft on the show, somebody in the chatty house is like, bruh, take Jayden Daniels.
Whoever that was is a smart person.
Smart person. Smarter than me. Salute to them. I'm man enough to admit that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be right all the time.
It's all right.
Catching an L. That's fine. I'll hold it.
No. Keep going.
Just play on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep going.
No, that's just, I messed up because Jayden Daniels doesn't look like a good rookie quarterback in the way that, oh yeah, no, he's got, that's a nice little start. He just looks dominant.
Yeah.
And whatever Cliff Kingsbury has going on with that offense looks unfreaking stoppable.
Jayden Daniels looks like he's in control.
Yes.
He doesn't look like a rookie quarterback. He looks like he's just in control, ready to go.
Yes. Jayden Daniels so far this season, let me get his numbers up because again, this is not, oh, good rookie numbers. These are good, just unbelievable numbers for Jayden Daniels. First of all, he completed 86.7% of his passes yesterday. He is at a 80, where are we at? Here we go.
I think he's 83% on the year.
82.1%. Wow. 82.1% completion rate. 897 yards. He's averaging 8.5 yards per attempt. He's thrown 3 touchdowns and just 1 interception. He has also rushed for, let's see. He rushed for 47 yards yesterday. He's rushed for 4 touchdowns. He looks unbelievable.
Yeah. He's been tearing it up.
So I'm in on the Commanders and I.
Arizona's 1-3 now?
Yeah, Arizona's 1-3.
They
out of the club right now?
Yeah. I'll talk to you guys next year, I think.
Wow.
Maybe I'm being harsh, but...
I'm not there just yet. They had...
Because they weren't even close in this one.
They nearly beat Buffalo in Buffalo week one.
Yeah, week one's always weird, though.
They beat the hell out of the Rams in week two. They have a really close game against the Lions at home in week three. And then they get smoked by a Red Hot Commanders team in week four. That's just, I don't have enough. I don't have enough.
I got it.
You're really confident the Niners are going to win next week?
Pretty confident. I'm not as worried about the 49ers as others, I think. And I think that's because I'm just all modern on Brock Purdy at this point.
Oh, yeah.
I think as long
Same.
As he's playing the way he is.
I just don't know that they're
going
to be able to get
chance.
Stops against the Cardinals.
Yeah, but I still got faith in the 49ers to get it done. Maybe I'll change my mind. It's a week-to-week league, Kyle. You ever heard of that?
I have heard that.
Thank you.
Yeah. We'll talk some more NFC West. We'll get into mad props, and we'll talk more week four of the NFL coming up. Jesse Tapia in for James Hamm. Kings Media Day is today. That's where James is at, getting you all the best Sacramento Kings coverage for ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. We're the Insiders. Back in a second.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Jesse Tapia there, Kyle Madsen here. We're hanging out with you till noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. The handoff coming up in about 12 minutes. One of D'Lo or KC will be in today. I never know.
It'll be Damien, I think.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a guess.
I have no idea. Sometimes Damian goes over and sits at the chair right outside the window.
The thing about ESPN 1320 is that someone's going to show up. We don't know who. Someone's going to be here. Yes, we're always going to be on the air. Someone will be here.
Yeah, that's it. I don't need to know, frankly.
Exactly.
Doesn't change how I'm going to approach the conversation.
Yes, don't worry about it. Someone will be here.
Yep, that's it. ESPN 1320, don't worry about it. Yeah. Someone will be here. You're talking about week four of the NFL. Wraps up tonight with Monday Night Football.
Big time Dolphins versus Titans matchup.
Is it?
Everyone, hey, don't do that. I'm trying to do a promo here.
Okay, go ahead. Go
no,
ahead.
You just stomped all over it.
No, go ahead. Sorry,
just go watch Seahawks Lions, whatever.
I'm going to.
Yeah, I might.
You don't have a rundown.
No, it's right here. It's all good.
Did you read what I wrote on my bullet point underneath the Titans at Dolphins game? The rundown is the thing we use to put together.
Oh, wait, where's the Titans?
It's like a layout.
I just got the back right here.
Other page. Yeah, go ahead and read for the people.
Oh, I'm so sorry, but I'm not so excited to watch this game. I get it.
I'm so excited to not watch this game.
Excuse me.
I'm going to actively like, yes, I'm so glad I'm not watching that.
I get it. Honestly, with the Dolphins, unless you're me or Polo L in the chat, shout out right here. Like you said, 93,000 people will be packed in the stadium for Dolphins Titans. That's a WWE thing. Just believe it, all right?
Okay.
But like I said, me and Polo will watch the Dolphins for you guys.
Thank you. You guys
don't need to check in with them till Tua's back. If he comes back this year.
Yeah.
They should be out of sight, out of mind, I think.
I think that's kind of what I'm
people
doing.
Not watching.
Although I'm really interested to see what Mike McDaniel does with Snoop Huntley.
Yeah, I was excited to see what he did with Skylar Thompson.
Were you, though?
Yes, bro. I don't know.
No, that's... No. Stop.
Well, because we were all holding on to the Buffalo playoff game 2 years ago. Tyler Huntley's a pro bowler the same way Mac Jones is a pro bowler. Don't make me do this to my quarterback today, bro. I'm trying to be all optimistic going
into
it.
No, we're gassing him up. Come on.
Yeah, he's playing for his hometown team today on Monday Night Football.
We're going to get some read option in there.
Yeah, we're very excited. I think Mike McDaniel kind of compared him to RG3 loosely at some point.
Oh, yeah, dude. So. The Dolphins are going to do some... you know what? Hey... That's well done by you. I'm back in on this
game. There we go.
I'm back in on this game. I'm dying. There we go. I think the Dolphins are going to do some weird stuff on offense. But frankly, I kind of forget the Titans exist sometimes.
They have the worst quarterback in the league, I think.
No.
Will Levis is really bad.
No.
Who are we talking about then at that point?
The worst quarterback in the league.
We're talking about starting quarterbacks. Skylar Thompson does not count. Otherwise, he can be in that mix.
Okay. So Bryce Young doesn't count then?
No. No, Andy Dalton's in there now.
Okay.
And honestly, like Will Levis was just as bad as
Man.
Bryce.
Man. Anthony Richardson count?
I'll take Anthony Richardson over Will Levis.
Well, I think
Anthony Richardson, there's
upside.
Potential. Yeah, there's upside there.
Man.
Give me Jacoby Brissett over
Justin
Will
Fields
Levis.
Even looks better this year.
Yes, give me Justin Fields.
Give you Jacoby Brissett? Stop.
Oh. It's bad when your coach is after the post game. Yeah, he's an adult. Okay, he knows what's right and what's wrong.
If you swap Jacoby Brissett,
talking about Will Levis, like he spilled some milk or was writing crayon on the wall. Like, come on, dude, he's done.
If the Titans called the Patriots right now and said, "We will trade you Jacoby Brissett, or we'll trade you Will Levis for Jacoby Brissett,"
you're not gonna do that because one guy is young, he might have potential, but
just in a vacuum, you think the Patriots say no?
Yeah, you got Drake May. Why are you going to do that? It's logical.
Okay, hang on. The Patriots call and say, hey, we will give you Jacoby Brissett.
The Titans say no.
Or Will Levis.
Okay, and these guys are in the same tier, but Will Levis, like if we're splitting hairs between Jacoby Brissett and Will Levis, I think I'm winning at that point.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think if you told me I have to win like one game to win for my life, I think I'm taking Jacoby Brissett.
Dude, we've seen it. Three
all right,
times
fine. You're right. You're right. Will Levis stinks.
Somebody's going to catch it.
Will Levis stinks. Well, we just always talk about this with Brock Purdy. Like the undervalued part of quarterbacking is just not doing anything stupid.
Mm-hmm. That's half of the game.
You have
honestly.
To do other stuff. You have to go make plays, right?
Yeah.
If you're just captain, throw it away and only dump it off to the running back, you're not going to be very good, right?
Yeah. Like,
you're going to be Alex Smith. But that was mean. Alex Smith had a good career. But you're just going to, like, you're not going to be super effective as a quarterback. On the other hand, if you're, like, throwing backhanded passes to the boundary and getting pick sixed once a game, that just.
If you can do the half where it's just be half of the game where just don't turn the ball over and don't lose it, even if you can't do all the other stuff, that's probably 10 years in the league because you'll be a backup anywhere.
Yeah.
That's literally half the game right there as a quarterback, I feel.
I agree.
Shout out Will Levis. I hope you stink it up today. And that mayo stuff is disgusting. Stop doing that too. Putting in your coffee and
just
all that.
Just so gross.
Horrible.
Sorry, I'm fighting for my life over here.
Yeah, Kyle's going through it, guys.
Fighting for my life. All right. Enough about that game. Second Monday night game tonight, we have Seahawks at Lions. This is a huge game for people in the 49ers universe.
Yeah.
The 49ers cinematic universe.
Are you worried about the Seahawks if they win today? Worried about the Seahawks as far as, all right,
if the Seahawks are legit if they win this game.
Because
I still think the Lions are good. Like, I didn't hop off the Lions bandwagon.
Yeah, yeah.
I still think the Lions are really good. And I understand, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I was doing post-game at 95.7, but we talked about this a little bit yesterday. There's a world where a person could talk themselves into, if you're the 49ers, rooting for the Seahawks here. Because, like, you're talking number one seed. You still have two games left against the Seahawks. You can pick them up then because they're two back right now. But on the other hand, when you're where the Niners are just as a team this year in 2024, you don't get to talk number one seed.
Well, it's like, do we trust the 49ers right now? And I'm asking you, Chatty House, you can answer it too. Yeah, yeah. Do we trust the 49ers, like, last few seasons when the games come up? It's like, you should beat this team. Like, do we trust them to actually get that done now this season?
With this current iteration of the team, no.
And that's tough, too. Like, if Seahawks are winning ball games or whatever,
right,
you can think what you want about them. But, like, if you expect the Niners to catch them, that's kind of tough.
Well, this is where they play the Seahawks in 2 weeks. If the Seahawks win tonight and the Niners lose to them, it's like in week six, it's like over.
Yeah.
Like that's,
you're going to have to go on a run if you're the 49ers. At that point, if you do catch them, you figure it out, I guess.
And you're needing Seattle to lose a bunch of games. Like it's cooked. So you just need Seattle to lose because the goal is obviously the number one seed, right?
Yeah.
But worry about that in week 14. They already have two losses. You figure four absolute maximum number of losses you can have and be the number one seed. They're two down already. Like if all of a sudden they go on in some insane run, like everything just breaks right, and oh my God, it is sunshine and rainbows, and the 49ers, what an epic season! And you're at 12-2 after week 15. Okay, then yeah, let's take a look at the one seed.
Yeah.
But for now, like you have to catch the Seahawks.
Yeah, the Seahawks. Like I said, whether you think they're legit or not, record is what you say or what they say it is or whatever, and they could be 4-0 after today.
Yeah, and if it wouldn't just be 4-0, because you're right. Getting to 3-0, doesn't matter how you get there. If early season is weird. If you get to 3-0, great job. But if they go into Detroit now and beat the Lions.
Especially going into Detroit.
Yeah, man, that's just an impressive-ass win, and they're 4-0.
How do we feel about Jared Goff if they lose this game?
Oh.
Yeah, so are you in on that's Detroit? Are you like say like that's they like, lose honest. Or whatever. Like you in on Detroit still as a team, like Jared Goff, the quarterback, we're still all good with that? He's looked kind of shaky to start.
He has, man. And this is where I think if you flip Jared Goff and Brock Purdy, I think the Niners get pretty substantially worse.
Yeah, and I think the Lions are still Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah. Yeah. That is something I didn't think before the season started. And my mind has changed on that over the first few weeks. I don't know, man.
We'll talk about it.
Like, it depends on, honestly, it depends on how the game goes.
Yeah, it would have to be Jared Goff. The Lions lost because of Jared Goff.
Yeah, like, he's just terrible. Mm. And which is just like on the table. If he goes 15 of 31 for 202 yards and two interceptions, then yeah, like, let's talk. But yeah, no, he plays well, and the Seahawks just made a couple more plays, and DK Metcalf had a long touchdown, and something weird happened on special. I'm not going to say the Lions are out, but no matter what, if the Seahawks win this game, I'm in.
Oh, yeah, ultimately, this game's probably more about the Seahawks than it is the Lions.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would definitely agree. There's enough track record there with Detroit based on what they did at the end of 2022 and then into 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Probably should have gone to the Super Bowl last year. There's enough of a track record there that I'll still think, okay, they can dig out of this. Whereas with the Seahawks, let's go to the other side of this coin. If Seattle goes and gets smoked tonight, then to me, I'm going, all right, they are kind of who we thought they were.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots took them to overtime at Foxborough. They beat the Broncos by what, like six in week one? And the Broncos aren't looking great.
They went to overtime with the Patriots, I think?
Yeah, they went to OT with the Pats. And then who'd they beat last week?
Who cares?
I do.
No, you don't.
I do care.
No, it doesn't matter, bro. Just leave it.
Wow. No,
just leave
I'm not.
It alone,
no,
bro.
No, no.
Doesn't matter.
No,
doesn't no, matter if no, they beat Skylar no. Thompson or whoever. Doesn't
oh,
matter.
That's right. Oh,
it doesn't
no.
matter.
Oh,
who cares?
No.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm so sorry.
Thanks, Kyle.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Thanks.
I'm so sorry.
Dolphins Titans tonight. I'm fine.
I forgot. I'm so sorry.
I'm fine.
I was like, why is he doing, like, what's the
No, yeah, problem? No, I was not being a jerk.
He beat the Dolphins 24-3.
He did. It was bad.
Yeah, man. We're going to learn a lot about the Seahawks here. They're at Detroit. Then they're home against the Giants. So you figure, and this is why the Niners need him to lose. Because you figure, best case scenario here for the Niners is going into that game against Seattle, they're 3-2. That's best case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
If the Seahawks beat the Lions, they have the Giants at home next week.
The Giants aren't nothing to write home about.
That's a W for the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Which means you could now be two games back going into that Thursday night game, and the Seahawks are sitting at 5-0.
You imagine the 49ers going up against the 5-0 Seattle Seahawks.
I mean, God,
that's
it would
in
feel
Santa
like
Clara, Seattle.
That's in Seattle.
That was always tough.
In Seattle. That's right. Yeah. They've had to go to Seattle on Thursday night 3 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Very odd.
Those games are always fun too.
Yeah, but I mean, I figure you take that just going up the coast a little bit, then flying across country or anything crazy like that. But yeah, so that's why the Niners need the Seahawks to lose tonight. Forget the number one seed for a minute. You need to win the division to secure a playoff spot and secure a home playoff game.
Say what you want, believe like whatever kind of quarterback Geno Smith is, like he can play ball. The Seahawks are no slouches.
Even if
say they lose to Detroit or whatever, and it's like, oh yeah, they are who we thought. It's going to be a wild card team around there at least, where they're winning ball games.
Yeah, they're not gonna start 3-0 and then finish 6-11. Mm-hmm. No, they're going to be in the mix this year. It's 23-20 in OT, by the way, against the Patriots. Not 26. 26-20 was the Broncos score the week before. But yeah. So it to me, if you're a 49er fan, you're rooting hard for the Lions tonight.
Yeah,
they need
kind of what it is at this
knock
point.
Down a peg, yeah, for sure. All right, hey, you want to do Mad Props?
Sure.
All right, let's get to Mad Props.
It's time for Mad Props. Two games, two props. Which number will be higher? That's for Kyle and James to decide. Here's Mad Props.
Hey, so we've looped Jesse in on Mad Props this year because it's more fun with a third person. Couldn't do it. James is out at Media Day for the Kings today. So he could not be here for Mad Props, and that's tough for him because he had a really good week. The first prop, if you're unfamiliar with the bit, we take two props from different games. I make them up. I just kind of mix and match stats, and we pick which number is going to be higher. We had Juwan Jennings targets or Zamir White rushing attempts. We all went Zamir White rushing attempts, and that was the right call. 17 rushing attempts for Zamir White. 6 targets, though, for Juwan Jennings, who still led the 49ers in targets.
Well, Juwan Jennings.
Shout out to Juwan Jennings,
he's
man.
He's kind of playing himself up a little bit this year.
Yeah, I think he's going to just...
He's not just a third wide receiver. I feel like you kind of involve him a bit. Not crazy, but like
yeah,
Juwan's a guy.
It feels like they're not going to start going 3 wide receiver sets and they just don't do a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And Kyle Shanahan has said, like, no, that's not the scheme. That's not what we're going to do. But I think you're going to see him get some snaps from Brandon Ayuk. I think you're going to see him get some from Deebo Samuel.
Yep.
You just have to integrate him more into the offense. Number two. We had the 49ers total score or Gardner Minshew passing attempts. You and I went Gardner Minshew. James went Niners total score. 30-24, the final there. We both took an L.
It's tough.
That's tough. But it's good news for the Raiders. They got their ground game going. And the Niners, you take 30 points any week. Any week of the season.
Exactly.
Number three, the 49ers sacks or Raiders turnovers. We all went Niners sacks, and that was the right move. They had 6 sacks of Jacoby Brissett yesterday. Just one.
It's a pause by Damian Barling here. Right there. Yeah, like I said, it's been 13-20. Someone's going to show up.
Someone's going to be here. I should have done this first because we can't. Moral of the story, Jordan Mason receiving yards or Robert Spillane tackles. 37-12 the final there. James took Spillane. You and I went with Jordan Mason. Brandon Ayuk receiving yards or Browns Raiders total points. I went total points. You tried to talk me out of it. I stuck with it. Talking me out of it would have been the right thing to do. 48-36, Brandon Ayuk receiving yards versus Browns Raiders total points. And then Patriots third down percentage or Raiders total rushing yards. We're getting weird. 152 rushing yards for the Raiders. Really good day on the ground for them. Niners held the Patriots to 31% on third downs. Part of a really good defensive day for the 49ers. James goes 5-1 on the week.
Whatever.
He is 13-8-3 for the season. You went 4-2. 7-4-1 for the season. I'm 3-3 this week. 12-9-3 for the season. And now that is Mad Props. We'll have another one for you on Friday. Let's get to the handoff of Damian
Mad
Barling.
Mad Props. That's a great name.
Isn't that sick?
I love that.
Yeah, thanks, man. We have a great
We have money. Sponsor that.
Yeah. That's a great segment to sponsor. I'm just
it would be a couple. Imagine that.
Get a bunch of mentions during the week.
We got standings now.
We got standings.
We got records.
I have a spreadsheet.
No, it's good. Yeah,
thanks,
we have
man.
A pocket watching league championship belt, and yeah, no one listens to us, or at least no one out there listens.
That
to
feels
us. But
like
we try.
That feels like it's primed for like a bank.
Bro,
is that? Am I crazy?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
No. Anyways, hi Kyle.
Good. Hi.
What's up, Jesse?
What's up, Dan?
What's up, man?
Good win for the Niners yesterday.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a bad win.
Nah.
There's not. They won.
What could you pick apart from this one, then?
I felt like they needed to get in the end zone more often, offensively. So, I don't, they continue. And this is why this wasn't a one-off thing. Like, the inability to get in the end zone is starting to become a problem.
No, I got you. I was a little concerned the first two drives ending in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a little worried about that. And then, you know, Fred Warner kind of bust the game open a little bit, but... You know, those are things you correct, right? Like you get an opportunity to, you know, correct things after a victory. Like if they had beaten the Rams last week, you probably wouldn't have felt super great about it. If the game kind of went along the same way, they score 14 points in a dominant first quarter and then everything kind of fizzles apart there, you'd feel the same way. But it's easier to digest those types of things. It's easier to come up with we've got to do this after mm-hmm. you get a win.
Sure.
So yeah, they're having some struggles getting to the end zone for sure, but again, it's a 17 game season and they got a win. That's all that matters.
Yeah, I feel like it's just I went in going they need to blow this team out.
Yeah,
they can't win 20-15 like the Cowboys did against the Giants, right?
So, no, I disagree. They can. You can do that. But, like, I'm also not – I'm not going to react either way to this because I was so goddamn annoyed last week when everybody was singing the praises of that jackass in New York and talking about how great the Jets are because they just beat the New England Patriots. They beat arguably the worst team in the entire league.
Yeah.
And then what did they do? They followed it up with an inability to get in the end zone. All of a sudden, when you don't have a free line to the quarterback anymore, football gets a little harder. So I'm not going to overpraise the San Francisco 49ers for beating the New England Patriots because I would refuse to overpraise what the New York Jets did last week.
Yeah.
But you win, you survive, and you keep moving. Their schedule is going to get a little bit tougher. They've got a lot more difficult games going on. I feel like what Jordan Mason was able to do in the second half of yesterday's game was really special. I feel like the fact that he's starting to catch passes out of the backfield is good. I know not everybody is happy with where Brandon Ayuk is, but the fact that Brandon Ayuk had a big play, the fact that Debo had a big play, I feel like those are all really, really positive things. I think the fact that their defense was able to sustain without the most important defender to me, I think the fact that you finally got what you wanted from Nick Bosa, even though he didn't get his first sack till very late in the game, he was all over.
Yep.
That football game, and whether you do it against a bad offensive line or a bad football team doesn't really matter for the psyche because you've done it, and now you'll feel better going into next week's game.
Yeah. How worried are we about Fred Warner?
The fact that he had his helmet on and was like standing on the sidelines and like looked agitated, they wouldn't let him play, has me feeling pretty good.
And they had him on social media after the game, and he's running off the field. Here's exactly how that felt to me. That felt like he went, "Hey, I want to play," and they went, "Well, we got the ball first here. Let's see how it goes."
Yep.
They fumble. They don't even have a chance to go on a drive. And they score, and the Niners immediately come back and go back up 17.
Yeah.
And that was like, hey, you know what?
Hey, we don't need you, big fella. Let's, I know you want to play. You already had a stat line. Like, you had a game stat line in the first half.
Yes.
Let's start thinking about next week.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think. So I'm not.
Defensive player of the year, front runner?
Oh, he might be my favorite player in the league right now. He's so really, really close
and he
to
looks
it.
Dope. He looks so sick in a football uniform.
CJ, Jaden, and Fred Warner. Those are D'Lo's favorite player power rankings
right
there.
They're
all tied for one.
Lamar Jackson bumped out of the list. Wow.
Bumped down. Yeah, your boy. That's like he's your top tier.
Yeah, that's my guy right
there. Yeah, Lamar can be two. The rest of those guys are tied for one.
We got to go here, but I got to tell you, every time Lamar Jackson fumbles now, a little piece of me dies.
Oh, I know. Me too.
I
come in later every time Lamar fumbles once because I don't want to. At least they're winning because I don't want to deal with some of our dear friends at the Odyssey.
You lost a little piece every time Jalen Hurts fumbled. You'd be dead already.
Wow.
Shout out Jalen Hurts.
That felt personal.
That felt really personal. Hey, you can't wait to watch Tyler Huntley tonight against Will Levis.
Shout out.
D'Lo and KC coming up next. NFL Kings Media Day.
Yeah. I really don't know, to be honest
with
you.
Carl Anthony Towns trade.
I'm on about 3 hours sleep, dude.
Hell yeah.
This is going to be 4 hours.
This is going to be so sick. Can't wait for D'Lo and KC. It's coming up next. Jesse Tapia filling in for James Hamm today. Appreciate you, Jesse. James out of Kings Media Day. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Back at 10 a.m. tomorrow. Until then, drink water. Be nice, people. Bye.